Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the 48-yard line, second down, 13. Brady lopped one downfield, caught ball by Gronkowski, inside the 20, to the 15, 10. Gronkowski to the 5, to the 4-yard line. Holy guacamole!
Here's the snap. Pressure coming from the outside. Brady throws it back. Caught ball first out of the 50. Outside the numbers 40. To the 30-yard line. To the 25. And Perriman. Rashad Perriman. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Bucs win in overtime.
This is the Big Nasty. Yeah, Big Nasty. All fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
And there the cannons go. Cannon. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Live on YouTube today for episode 241. Never a doubt, huh? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel up north to play the New York Jets. And they do win 28-24, but I gotta tell you, man, this was probably one of the most chaotic 60 minutes of football I have seen in my entire life. I've been watching football a good while, Evan, my co-host. I know you have been watching football for a good while, and what we saw today was definitely something. We're gonna try our best to break it down over the next hour or so. But welcome back to the show. I am your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. This game felt like a fever dream. The Bucks at one point were down 24-10 to the goddamn Jets. This is a team, a New York Jets team that, you know, played their best game of the season today. Zach Wilson played out of his mind. He was absolutely picking apart this Bucks defense early on in this game. And I'll tell you, what saves this performance for the Bucks, and what saves this team from me absolutely ripping them to shreds, is how they won this game. Because what they had to do is they had to overcome and rebound, find a way to win after who was supposed to be one of their number one wide receivers just decided to leave the game. So, all right, I'm done trying to make sense of all of this. Let's really start and try and break this thing down. Evan, how are you doing? What's on your mind after that one? I mean, I really don't know, man.
Doesn't even feel like a football game was played.
I mean, they won. Bucks win. Woo! Yeah, they won. 12-4, baby. Yeah. You know,
they finally got a Tom Brady drive needing a touchdown. Got the touchdown. A big moment for Cyril Grayson. We're gonna talk about the game. We got plenty of time to talk about the game. We're going to break down the game. We are going to be spending most of our time breaking down this game, okay? However, we have to start off with the news that Antonio Brown is no longer a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Now, he hasn't been officially released yet, but, like, that's going to come. As far as we know, he was benched by Bruce Arians. I believe the Bucs radio broadcast had confirmed that, and Jenna Lane also confirmed he was benched and then proceeded to throw a tantrum or do something, and then just started taking off his jersey and just ran. It was strange. It was extremely strange. Not a lot of people knew what was going on. Chris Myers, the broadcast team, friend of the show, thought it was a fan. Like, and a lot of people thought it was a fan, just, you know, a streaker on the field. Security team almost tackles him because they thought it was a fan. Really a strange occurrence. We won't get the real story. We do not know why he was benched. you'll probably never get the real story until, you know, and maybe in a few years or a few months, you'll get the story, but we won't really know. But all we do know is that Antonio Brown walked out on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and he is no longer a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So those are the two things you need to know. And he won't be on the team moving forward. And weird, man. Very weird. He's a fantastic player, right? He's probably a top 10 wide receiver of all time when you're talking about pure talent. But the dude has some serious issues. And we knew that when they signed him last fall. We knew that. He was fine, right? And kudos to him for being that model citizen that Bruce Arians dubbed him as last season. But then this year with the whole vaccination thing, we stood by him. The Bucs stood by him. But unfortunately, you know, this is the last straw. You can't just walk out on your teammates like that. There's 52 other guys and an entire coaching staff that are counting on you. And he wasn't big enough, I guess, to step up when they needed him.
Hey, quick ad break, but let me tell you about our guys over at betonline.ag, one of our main sponsors of the podcast for over a year at this point. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website they have to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and a proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire podcast. Yeah, it is a shame. I think you said just about everything there is. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time breaking down the situation because it is what it is. Bruce Arians said in his post-game press conference, he confirmed three different times that Antonio Brown is no longer a Buccaneer. He has not been officially cut, but I would not be surprised at all to see that floating around here over the next few days. I mean, when the head coach makes it official like that, it's pretty much official. So I'm not really sure how much, how much else further we have to go on this entire situation. But, you know, to say I'm disappointed is a little bit of an understatement because, like you said, it felt like he had turned a corner. I know that personally, I had defended Antonio Brown multiple times on this broadcast because, you know, when articles were coming out saying that he is much more of a diva than, you know, an athlete or a team player and this and that, and, you know, the amount of articles that came out, the news surrounding him the way that it did, he ends up facing the suspension. It is what it is. The Bucs bring him back. I think a lot of people in this organization believed in him. Tom Brady definitely believed in him, bringing him to Tampa in the first place. And I, for one, believed in him because I was rooting for Antonio Brown this season. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he did quit on this team. He took his uniform off, left the game when they were down 14 to the New York Jets because he was told he was benched. We're never going to get the reason he was benched. Maybe we will in a diss track he releases on an upcoming album. But, you know, as far as what the Bucs needed to do to go out there and win this game, they had to forget about it.
Yeah, hang on real quick.
Yeah.
Pete Schrager confirms that Antonio Brown is not flying back with the Buccaneers. So, because, I mean, obviously they all took the same plane to go there. So they confirmed, I mean, that would have been, what a plane ride that would have been. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall there. But it's the right move by the Bucs. To not, you know, hey, good riddance, man. Pat McAfee just tweeted out, sources have told me that AB actually pulled himself out of the game, went to the bench and said he wasn't going back in. Then some conversations happen and all hell breaks loose. Okay, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, that's Pat's source. You know, there's a source that the Buccaneers bench him. We'll never know, right? We'll never know. And like I said, what you need to know is that Antonio Brown won't be on the team. That is what it is. And two things you need to know. Antonio Brown won't be on the team, and the Buccaneers won a football game. So.
They did win a football game. The Bucs are 12-4. They have tied their series or franchise best regular season record. They did it over 16 games. They have a chance to break the record and put 13 wins on a single season with the extra game next week against Carolina. And to kind of put a bow on the AB topic, Bruce Arians said it best. Antonio Brown is no longer a Buc. Let's not talk about AB. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about the guys who did go out there and win the game today.
Even if the game was not pretty at all. So
yeah, I guess let's just start talking about this game from top to bottom. So the guys that won the game, I want to talk firstly about Cyril Grayson at the wide receiver position. That go-ahead touchdown with less than 10 seconds to go in the game, or I'm sorry, 15 seconds left to go in the game. Just an absolute dime from Tom Brady. Cyril Grayson made a great play to wind up in the end zone. Another big day from him. He stepped up last week big time in the absence of Mike Evans out there. Didn't expect him to do it again this week, but he definitely did, and found a way to get most of his production after Antonio Brown left, of course. But huge day for Cyril Grayson. You got to feel great about the improvement he has really shown these past 2 weeks. One of those young guys on this offense who needed to step up this week. And, with the way this one went, better late than never. But you still love to see the way this team was able to come together and come out with a W.
Yeah, and, the crazy part is we talk about a young guy being on the offense. He's 28 years old. This guy is not, his story is just fantastic. I don't remember the ins and outs of it, but obviously a former track star at LSU, really wasn't given a ton of chances. Has just been on so many teams. I mean, I'm looking here. He's on the Seahawks practice squad, the Colts practice squad, back to the Seahawks, was on the Texans practice squad, on the Bears practice squad, on the Saints practice squad, on the Cowboys practice squad, and now he lands in the Bucks. So really just, fantastic. Fantastic performance, great story by him, and it's all about getting your opportunity, right? And he's making the most of his opportunity right now. We'll see if he can continue it, but right now he's making the most of his opportunity.
Six catches for 81 yards and a touchdown for Cyril Grayson. Let's talk about the leading receiver this week, a guy that we had kind of hoped would, have a comeback game, and this is definitely one for him. Big number 87, seven receptions, 115 yards, does not find the end zone, but that's all right. It's good to see Gronk kind of snap out of that slump he's been in the past few weeks.
Yeah, it was a good Gronkowski game. I thought the game plan that they had in place for the tight ends was overall good. Just a weird game on offense, a disappointing game on offense, even though they won, right? We still have to talk about it. This Jets defense has just struggled all year long. And I came on their preview show and said, the Jets offense has moved the football. Like, they really have. Their issue has been turnovers. Well, they didn't turn the ball over and they were able to move the football. We'll get to that later. But the Jets defense hasn't been able to really do anything right this entire year. They're a young group. They have some players, but a lot of those players that they have are out. Like Marcus May is out. Quinn Williams, I believe, is out. So like a lot of those guys just aren't there, and they really struggled. I mean, for most of this game, they really struggled, and I don't know why. I can't really pinpoint it, but it was good to see Gronkowski get back on the board, and not with a touchdown, but get back on the board with a good performance after he's had some of his worst games as a Buck, really.
Let's talk about the quarterback before we get into some more receivers for this offense. TB12, judging by the box score, you wouldn't really think that they were struggling the way that they were on offense throughout this one. I think it's because of the couple of really big passes on that final drive of the game. But 34 for 50 for TB12, 410 yards, three touchdowns, and of course the costly interception that he threw as well. What did you think of Brady's day from top to bottom? I thought there were certain moments where you could tell there was some miscommunication between him and his receivers. Like early on, it still seemed like him and AB were working on some stuff before he inevitably left the game. And just some other guys, it seemed like there were maybe some miscommunications. Like Mike Evans, there's another one I'm thinking of where Brady absolutely launched it. I think it was honestly the interception. I don't think Evans was really expecting the ball to come his way, but I'd probably have to watch it again. I mean, there were some miscommunication, but overall, what did you think of Brady's day throwing the ball?
Yeah, I thought he was okay. I thought it was a solid game. There were a few throws I think he could have had. A lot of it was the offensive game plan was strange to me. They were running the ball, but they weren't really. They're running the ball at weird times. And on the interception, I think it's on the QB and the wide receiver, a little bit of a miscommunication there. It seemed like I think Brady kind of thought that might have been kind of like a jump ball situation. Evans thought it was more of a streak. So that's just a little bit of a miscommunication there. And obviously you don't want to see that, but I thought he played okay. Obviously the end touchdown makes up for it. yeah, it's really, it was a good game, not a great game. Don't know if it's going to win you the MVP, but I mean, a play like that to win the game with a touchdown will definitely help. But yeah, I thought he played good, not great. I thought the offense started off okay, like, as a whole. We'll talk about it, but he hit a lull and then he started to pick it back up. So I thought it was an okay, solid game from Brady. Nothing. The stats will tell you that he was better than he actually was, I think.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, some of the other guys on this offense goes, I wanted to highlight some other receivers today. Tyler Johnson, 4 catches for 50 yards, no touchdowns for him. I kind of thought he could have been better at times. There was definitely that one where he could have caught the ball right at the 1-yard line and maybe converted and gotten the first down. Would have been first and goal Tampa Bay, and he drops it. And if I remember correctly, the Buccaneers did not take the field goal. They came out and punted. You know which drive I'm talking about, right? It was literally Tyler Johnson had the ball in his hands at the 1-yard line and could not hang on to it. But I don't remember if that was Ryan Succop nailing the field goal the way
they kicked the field goal on that one. Okay. Yeah. That made it 24-20.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a touchdown there makes it 24-20. You take the 3 points. Ryan Succop, by the way, made all his kicks today. You love to see that. Something we talked about on the game preview show, but you know, I think Tyler Johnson could have been a little bit better. This was an opportunity for him to step it up, and 4 catches for 50 yards is definitely serviceable, but there were just a couple of times where he really needed to tighten up. But so did this entire team at times. And what's important is that they did win. Next up in the receiving section, Mike Evans, big number 13, 4 receptions for 47 yards and a touchdown. So what is the Mike Evans 1K counter at now? How many more yards 54. Does he need to go? Yeah.
54 receiving yards. So think he's gonna get it. He had a nice day. You could tell they were playing it cautious. I think they weren't doing as much with him as say sometimes do. But yeah, I mean, he had a nice day. It was good to see him get in the end zone. Let's see, Pat, you know, on the one to Johnson, just going back, I think Johnson should have had that ball. If you're talking about the one that we were just discussing, the one on the goal line when they had to kick the field goal, I think Johnson needs to catch that ball. But yeah, I thought Mike Evans had a good day. Like I said, it was, you could tell they were being cautious with him. Touchdown was nice. Like I said, good to see him get in the end zone. And hopefully next week versus a depleted Carolina secondary that he's able to come back and get that 54 yards.
Hey, the last receiver we're going to talk about before I get your thoughts on this run game today, Le'Veon Bell made an appearance against his former team. We were kind of talking about what his role would be this week, and we saw him get a little more reps at the third down back position, but 3 receptions for 30 yards for him, and there were 2 times I can think of where he had a pretty clutch first down. So it was good to see Le'Veon Bell get involved a little more this week. He also found some room for a couple of carries on the ground. Didn't do anything memorable, but you know, the more reps, the better, especially with Ronald Jones leaving this game and ending up questionable.
Yeah, and Willie Beeman with a $20 super chat. Thanks a lot, Willie. Oh,
thanks so much, Willie.
Hello, fellas, and shout out to the Mates and Bucks Nation. Didn't like the play today, but a win is a win. Really hate to lose Whitehead in free agency. Bama safety Jordan Battle could be an option in this draft. Happy belated birthday, Rhett. So happy late birthday to Rhett from Willie. And thanks a lot for the super chat. Really appreciate it, Willie. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if they do lose Jordan Whitehead. But, you know, I think Mike Edwards, obviously, if they want to go internal, that could be a candidate to just replace him. But they also could look to draft somebody. So we'll see.
Thank you again, Willie. It really is appreciated, dude. I'm glad that not only I was able to celebrate a great birthday with my beautiful girlfriend, but I'm glad the Bucks didn't lose this game, man, because, I mean, hot damn. This is just a personal take of mine, but I've noticed that every time you and I record a game preview show where we're a little bit more lax than usual,
out of it. Yeah.
The last time we were that confident headed into a game preview was the Washington game. And we all remember how that one turned out.
That might have been because of the watch party. We were just like, there's no way they're going to lose. Right. There's no way.
I guess, man.
To me, this one, if they were to lose this game, this would have been more unacceptable than even getting shut out by the Saints or Washington. Oh, yeah. You know, because the Saints are like a decent team. Like the Jets are just, they're a bad team.
Well, and the biggest thing about this, I thought about this, you know, 55 minutes of this game, because it really, that's how long it felt like they could have lost this game. You know, obviously the last minute drive by Tom Brady, thank God for him. That's vintage Brady at this point. Mm-hmm. Never in doubt, but There were a lot of times where I did think they were going to lose this game. And the one thing that I kept thinking about is what I said on the game preview show this week. I said, if the Bucks find a way to lose to the Jets, because that's the only way they're going to lose to the Jets, is if they find a way to lose. And I guess maybe
or if their players quit.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
That could be another way. If Tom Brady just says, you know what, I'm out.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the run game really quickly. We did see Keyshawn Vaughn get a bigger role this week. He actually finished with more carries than Ronald Jones on the day, if I remember correctly. Actually, no, he did not. 8 carries and 31 yards for Keyshawn Vaughn, 10 carries and 26 for Rojo, and 3 carries for 5 yards from Le'Veon Bell. With the Buccaneers playing behind like they did the entire game, you know, clearly the run game wasn't going to factor in that much, but what did you think of the increased role that we saw from Keyshawn Vaughn? I thought he had a couple of good highlights today.
Yeah, he looked okay. There's some things, man, we just in the passing game, just sometimes. Now, he may have gotten a little held there, but it was on the screen, I think, on the second drive when the Bucks kicked the field goal. It looks like he's like so confused sometimes when running passing routes. I don't know if it's actually confusion. And then, but like I said, that one he might have gotten held up a little bit. I thought all the running backs looked fine. You'd want him to look a little bit better against a not really great rush defense, but it looked fine. Danny says, no way Brady's MVP. Did it against the Jets. The Jets, I don't believe he's earned the MVP. Okay, so I guess Aaron Rodgers doing it against any – I guess I can look at his performances against any bad team and discount him, right? Is that what you're saying? Doesn't matter who the opponent is.
I think it also just goes back to what we had mentioned before about the box score. Like, you did say that the box score might lead you to believe Brady was – better than he was in this game, but the fact of the matter is, when the Bucks needed him most, he went out there and did what
won the game.
Right? He led the team 93 yards in under a minute to put them ahead 4 points. Also converted the 2-point conversion with Le'Veon Bell up the gut to make it 28-24 and kind of put it out of reach for New York. Maybe not same exact situation, but with the time left on the clock, you think back to that situation against Indianapolis where Isaiah Rodgers took a kick return 60-something yards and almost made it a game. But luckily the Bucs defense was able to hold on. But, yeah, the Bucs don't win this game without Tom Brady doing what he does best on that drive. I was freaking the hell out in my living room, right? I'm telling them to just keep hurrying up, spike the ball.
I would have spiked it.
I'm yelling at my TV. But you know who looked like he had been there more than anybody else in that entire stadium was the man under center, Tom Brady. The cool composure he was able to keep during that final drive is what helped make it so successful. And Surreal Grayson stepping up the way that he did for that game-winning touchdown is just the cherry on top. So, like, this Bucks team doesn't go out there and do that without TB12 under center. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdowns against the Bears. Okay, it's the Bears, so it shouldn't matter, right? All right, so cross that one off. That doesn't count. He threw 3 touchdowns, I believe, against the Ravens, who have basically their entire secondary out. So, okay, that one, and they've lost, like, 5 straight or whatever? Okay, so that one doesn't count. Cross that out. What other ones are we crossing out here? The Vikings one. The Vikings, when he threw 4 touchdowns, but he lost, and it's the Vikings, so that doesn't count. Cross that one out. It's when you start to do this, and notice how it kind of gets a little bit, it doesn't matter, right? You play the teams that are on your schedule. Brady can't help that he's playing the Jets. Rodgers is playing the Sean Mannion-led Vikings tonight. Like, you know, he can't, they can't help that. Like, that's out of their control. You play who you play, and that's how you play. And right there, that was an MVP moment. Is Tom Brady going to win it? I don't know. Right? I really don't. I think he's had to have a big game against Carolina probably, and they're going to have to win. But that's an MVP moment. That's basically what we're saying. I don't know if he's going to win MVP, but that's an MVP moment. Pat wants to talk about the refs. Let's move on to the refs.
Missed PI on Gronk, delay of games, and the unsportsmanlike call on Jensen. I'll tell you, the one that pissed me off the most was the unsportsmanlike call on Jensen, because it occurred on the same play where there's a pretty clear no call for defensive pass interference on Rob Gronkowski, who just got absolutely tackled in the middle of running his route. And then they go ahead and call unsportsmanlike conduct or unnecessary roughness, whatever it was, on Ryan Jensen. They show the replay, and it's 2 Jets defensive linemen just walking up to Jensen.
Yeah.
Talking to him, like he literally stood there and did nothing. That's the thing, though, is like
they gotta change that rule.
I just don't understand. It definitely felt like the refs were controlling how this one went.
Well,
for a while.
The refs can hear what is said. So I guess something was said that they didn't feel like was appropriate. Like, okay, I understand that, but like, it's not middle school. Like, we're not trying to run an after school program here. It's not like you're in gym class and you're arguing with a dude. Like these are grown men. Like as long as you're not physically like engaging with somebody, I think they should be allowed to talk trash all they want.
Well, and truthfully, with the reputation Ryan Jensen has, a couple of wordy dirds tossed at your player seems like the least amount of damage he could do after a play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to own Danny really fast. Okay. So against every team, every playoff team that they've played.
By the way, folks, for our audio listeners, if you are not engaging on the live chat, Danny dropped a take in the chat that says, tell me a perfect game that Brady has played against a top team. I'm pretty sure Tom Brady has an interception in every single playoff team they have played this season. That is not an MVP performance to me, in my opinion. Okay. And here we go. Brady, buckle up for Evan's rebuttal.
Okay, Brady hater. Against the Rams, didn't throw one. Against the who was it? Against the Patriots, didn't throw one. Now, he didn't throw a touchdown that game. Had to be fair. In the Saints game, I mean, not the Saints, the Cowboys game, the first week. I mean, come on, dude. Are you seriously gonna pin those on Tom Brady? Like, you know, stop looking at the scoreboard and actually watch the football games, okay? Before you come in here and start saying some stuff. So I mean, it's clearly those two. One was a Hail Mary, and the other one is right near Leonard Fournette's hands. That just goes into like, come on, man, give me a break, okay?
Danny, we're glad you're here, man. I just want to reiterate versus
the Bills, Tom Brady, no interceptions. Like it, you're wrong. Like you're
right.
Wrong.
All right. Well, enough about Tom Brady and the way he's played this season. The case is still open for MVP. He is still the front runner. And I think his final performance of the regular season against Carolina is going to have a lot to say on how that voting goes for him. But let's talk about the other side of the football for Tampa Bay today. The defense that gave up 24 points to the New York Jets. We'll talk about the start of the game for the defense, because this is where they were caught sleeping. It felt like that first drive, the Jets took the ball, marched right down the field, and they scored. And they scored primarily by running the ball. Discipline was just bad early. Two penalties for the Bucs on that first drive. Bad discipline, right? The opening play of the game, Ndamukong Suh jumps off sides. It's a free play. Later on in the red zone, Joe Tryon Soyinka jumps off sides. It's a free play. Sets him up with a first down and goal. Like, we handed that to them, right? And it just felt like there were times where, even though the defense was able to hold them a few times, it just never felt like they were able to do enough. It took them a little over an entire half to get some pressure on the quarterback, it felt like. And by then, you know, you're already down 14 points. It wasn't the performance it should have been. I know we did credit the New York Jets offense a little bit beforehand, but, you know, I also expected Zach Wilson to go out there today and make some mistakes. I thought without Shaq Barrett and JPP, Joe Tryon Soyinka and Anthony Nelson would be able to get the job done on the edge. And that was not the case today, because the pressure wasn't there, and Zach Wilson probably threw the ball, hell, the best he's thrown the ball in his entire NFL career.
Yeah, real quick. Danny, appreciate you listening. You say Aaron Rodgers has been better. Agree or disagree? I'm not saying Rodgers hasn't been better. I'm just saying that I still think Brady has had an MVP caliber season. Two guys can have MVP caliber seasons, and only one can win. Like, it's true. I'm not saying Rodgers hasn't had an MVP caliber season. Anyways, on the defense, a lot of it was the Jets. You got to give credit to the opponent sometimes, right? Like, you really do, I think. I thought their game plan was great. Thought they executed flawlessly. Now, with that being said, this Jets offensive line has struggled the entire season. And nothing. Where was Vita Vea? Where was Ndamukong Suh? Where was Will Golston? You know, 7 sacks last year, I mean, last week, doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't mean a thing, right? Like, I don't care about that. We're moving on, right? Anthony Nelson had a nice sack, big sack on third down, forced the Jets to punt. But, Joe Tryon Soyinka, he's been disappointing. It's, you know, sorry, kid. I mean, yeah, you're a young player, but you're 16 games in now, pal. Like, it's – when you're he was invisible I mean, the only time I really heard his number was when he was getting called offsides. He needs to be better, especially if JPP is not going to go, which I think you'll probably see JPP and Shaq Barrett both in the playoffs. I think at this rate, I don't think you're going to see Jason Pierre-Paul back in the regular season. So he needs to be better. Like, Joe Tryon-Chowinka needs to be better. We'll wait and see. Like I said, if Pierre-Paul can come back, but that was the most disappointing thing to me. Just the pass rush, and specifically, the interior just not generating anything. And I think that was the big reason why the Jets had success. I mean, Zach Wilson countless times sat back there and was able to find open targets. The secondary, there's a lot of confusion, right? You think you have your two starting corners. You don't have your two starting corners. Then you might. Then you don't. Then you do. It was a mess. So the secondary was a lot of confusion. But so get this. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, really quick. The ballad of Sean Murphy Bunting and Jamel Dean this week. So these
they're going to write a book on their day today.
Holy hell. So essentially what happened is they were cleared off of the COVID list pretty late in the week, and they were cleared to travel with the team. So
it was yesterday. Yeah,
the Bucks had already traveled up to New York. So SMB and Jamel Dean are going to catch a flight in the morning, get up there early before the game. All right, let's go. Well, they show up to the airport and come to find out the pilot that was supposed to fly them up there has his own COVID issues. So they go and they find another pilot to back him up. They go finally take off, get up in the air. There is some inclement weather that they have to deal with. So they have to adjust their route to take a longer route to New York. And they come to find out they initially were dropped off in Canada. Bruce Arians confirmed today in his postgame presser that the flight that was supposed to go to New York initially went to Canada, and they had to circle back, finally land in New York. And those guys got there like, damn, it had to have been an hour and a half, 2 hours before kickoff. And a lot of people were probably confused watching their TV and seeing them in full pads on the sidelines, but not getting any action. And I'm assuming that's just because they needed time to warm up because, I mean, holy hell, what a whirlwind experience just getting these guys to the game, right?
Yeah, just crazy. Their day, and now they get back on a flight with the team. It's insane. They go, they're in New York for basically 2 hours. Play a football game, go back on the flight. Just an insane day. But the secondary obviously had some confusion. Just a disappointing day for this defensive line. A really, really disappointing day. And I'm not sure what it was. And also the run defense. The run defense was not up to the standard. Well, I thought this might have been their worst tackling game of the entire season.
Tackling was awful. That was my biggest complaint today, and that's the reason it felt like this Jets run game was able to get going so early, because tackling was just piss poor from top to bottom.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, this was an awful tackling game, and it's obviously tough sledding, right? Without Shaq Barrett, like, I get it, but Shaq Barrett literally, he's not the entire run defense. Like, he isn't. Like, and actually, the biggest guy is Vita Vea. And, what did I said to you a few weeks ago, if you're going to run against the Bucks, you have to do it to the outside and just hope that the Bucks, can't get there in time, that their linebackers or their corners just can't cover those holes. And a lot of times the Bucks couldn't. They had trouble containing Michael Carter, who left a concussion. They had trouble containing him. They had trouble containing Braxton Berrios. No matter really who it was, they had trouble containing him. And I think that was a disappointing thing as well. This Jets run offense was, solid coming into this game. It was the best part of their offense. However, still doesn't exceed. Like, you're a top five run defense in the league. You were number one last year, number one the year before that. Like, you gotta be stout against the run. And the Jets really took it right to you, and you just let it happen. So that might have been a pretty big disappointment for me.
I think we do got to give some credit to the Jets offense this week. I think the biggest reason they were able to be as effective as they were against this Bucks defense was, the RPOs. The amount of options that they gave Zach Wilson, they didn't put a whole lot of responsibility on his shoulders. But when they did, their offensive line was blocking all day for him. He had all day to evade the pressure, run away, just look for guys. There were a couple of throws today that he made that were absolutely ridiculous, right? And it was just, it was a...
The one, I forget, I don't know if the Jets scored, but it was the one screen pass. It was just perfect. And I think he kind of had to throw a rainbow ball, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was when they made it 24-10. I was like, wow. I just said to myself, I was like, they're just executing just perfectly. And I don't care who it is. And they say any given Sunday for a reason, man. Like, they really do. We mentioned on the game preview show, the Jets have beaten the Titans and the Bengals. Like, the Jets have done this.
By the way, right? the Bengals who just beat the Chiefs, and won the AFC North.
And the Titans were the one seed right now. The Jets beat both those teams. Like, it's any given Sunday, and it's just, it's good to get the win, even though definitely shouldn't have been as close as it was. Emily says, say what you want, but the truth is we are not winning a playoff game if we continue to play the way we were playing. Why do players need chefs anyways? Apparently they're more expensive than expected. That's true. If somebody wants to send me a personal chef, I'll make sure they're paid. As long as it's like, in my budget. So like, cook me McDonald's basically. But here's the thing.
Evan's a chicken and potatoes guy. And by like literally chicken and potatoes, I mean, you don't even got to grill the chicken and or the potatoes. You might have to cook.
Yeah. Okay. Deep fry. Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. James with the $1.99.
Let's go. $1.99
super chat. Like to try out a wide receiver for the Bucks, please. No, unfortunately, cannot. Thanks for the money, though. we appreciate it.
Thank you, James, so much for donating to the Wendy's Fund. We truly appreciate your support, my friend. Glad to have you in here today.
Yeah. Anyways, so, Emily, the tough thing about the defense is I want to discuss the defense since we're on this. The defense is going to be better in the playoffs because like they're expected to have Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul and Lavonte David. Like they're expected to have those guys back, and those guys are important and critical to this defense. So I do think the defense is better today if they are completely healthy. Like I do. Now for the offense, you can't really use the, oh, wait until they get it full strength thing. Chris Godwin's not walking through that door. He's not coming back. There is no Antonio Brown that's going to be signed. Larry Fitzgerald, everybody's saying like, no, it's not going to happen. The only person that's going to be coming back is Leonard Fournette. Like, that's it. Like, and Fournette's a good player, but does he change this offense? No. Like, the way they're going to get to the Super Bowl is by playing complementary football, their defense getting healthier, and Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, those three making a difference. Like, that's how they are going to win a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying they're going to, right? But, and also, yeah, Pat, you bring up a good point with Gio Bernard, even though Le'Veon Bell stepped in fine. Gio Bernard can actually come off IR this coming week. So we'll see if they're able to, what they're going to do. I'm not really sure. It's all going to come down to the defense, I think. I trust Tom Brady. That's full trust in Tom Brady. But I think the days of just the Bucs offense dominating teams are going to be done for now until next season. I think it's going to be, you did hope that the offense can play turnover-free football and the defense can really turn it on.
When we talk about complementary football in this Bucs team, I think a textbook example
has to be the Jets today.
Yeah, well, the Jets.
the Jets were playing some complimentary football.
Well, they definitely were. I mean, the one interception on the day for Tom Brady was the most crucial play the entire day, it felt like, for this Jets defense. But when we talk about complimentary football for the Bucs, I think a textbook example has to be the game they played against Carolina. 32-6 is a big deal, but it, like, when I look back at that game, I don't necessarily think about an offensive explosion, right? Like, I think mostly about how the defense was able to not only hold them to just 6 points, but create turnovers on the day, get after the quarterback. Like, 7 sacks is a season high, so you're not going to recreate that every single week, but, like, just some pressure. Like, get half of that. You know what I mean? Zach Wilson is the type of guy where if the Bucs had finished with 3 or 4 sacks today, I probably have a gut feeling that he throws a pick, because that's just, that's how you force guys to make mistakes. But that is complimentary football 101 when we talk about what it means to this Bucs team. I wanted to get your opinion on the coaches really quickly as we kind of start to wrap up this week's episode. From the beginning of this game, this was my biggest takeaway. We talked a lot about how every single team the Bucks are going to play this year are going to be playing their best football. Like, this is their Super Bowl, right? This was the Jets' Super Bowl for the season, and they damn sure played like it. But this game...
At the end of the day, hang on. We realize the Jets are the Jets, right?
The Jets, like, are the Jets. That's the crazy part, because the Jets are the Jets, right? And the Bucks are the Bucks. They're the undisputed, the defending, the reigning world. It's all about the Bucks, baby. Go Bucks. Gotta love the Bucks. You know, but at the end of the day, when these two teams came into this game, I could tell after that first half of football that this game meant two different things to two different football teams. It might have sounded corny, but they brought it up on the TV broadcast. The Jets were told by their head coach this week to play this like a playoff game. It's a playoff atmosphere, set the tone early, and that's exactly what they went out there and did. Like, from the beginning of this game, it seemed like they wanted it more. And it took the Buccaneers a game-winning drive with the final minute left on the clock to get it, to get the job done. But, like, the Jets controlled this game because they played clean, disciplined football, while the Bucs did not. You know, the Bucs defense did not look prepared. And for a while, it felt like this offense couldn't make anything happen in critical moments. And when you're not playing the goddamn Jets, you're going to lose 9 times out of 10. And that's my biggest takeaway from this game. And I wanted to get your thoughts because... our buddy Tony Baloney is in here. He is the number one Bruce Arians hater in the chat. Bruce Arians got a chance
might
to coach
be in the
this
world.
Game. Yeah. Tony Baloney does not like our coaching staff. But what were your thoughts on you know, how prepared they had these players today? What kind of adjustments they made in the game? Their offensive and defensive game plan? Like, overall, what would you grade the Buccaneers coaching staff for Week 17 versus the Jets?
Ooh. I will say the defense played better in the second half than it did in the first. So the adjustments they made there. Now, partially was the Jets' stupidity. Why you try a QB sneak on 4th and 2? I don't know. That would have ended the game right there. The Bucs didn't have any timeouts. So I don't know why you're trying that. But I don't know. Probably a C for the defense. And a D plus for the offense. I was disappointed in the offense. They shouldn't have had as much trouble as they did. I understand there was more distractions in this game later on, but they really should not have had as much trouble as they did moving the ball against this Jets defense. And it scoring 28 points is fine, but, like, you know, it's the Jets. Like, you gotta. It's the Jets and you're Tom Brady and you're supposed to have this firepower offense. It's you got to find ways. And I don't think the Bucks. I thought the game plan last week was fantastic, right? Of finding ways to get the ball in the guy's hands, Antonio Brown, finding ways to get the ball in his hands, Cyril Grayson, you know, finding ways to get the ball in these guys' hands. It felt like that was gone now. It felt like it was again, you know, oh, since Mike Evans is back, let's throw it up and see if he can make a one-on-one play. Sometimes he did, right? And I don't mind that as much as others do. The thing, oh, you're 3rd and 2, let's throw it, you know, 90 yards. Like, well, I don't get that. But
there were a couple of times this game where, like, Brady felt like taking a shot down the sideline. He was looking for Gronk once. He was looking for
most
Mike
of the time
Evans
it's one-on-one. Like, yeah, that's when you're going to take a shot.
Yep. And you know. I will tell you that the times he did take a shot this week, the only time I was really upset with it was there was a 3rd and 6 where he took like a sideline shot. I think it was to Cyril Grayson. Pass falls incomplete. He overthrows him by like 5 yards. Like, I was pissed on that, but it didn't feel as detrimental this week when he was taking those shots. Like, it wasn't a 3rd and 1 and he looks 40 yards downfield for Rob Gronkowski or something.
And you know, it's shout out to Cyril Grayson again, because one of the plays that won't be talked about enough is the Bucs had a 3rd and 20 after Ali Marpet, I think, got a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty or something
like that. I'm telling you, dude, it felt like they were making up some of those calls out there today. Ali Marpet getting an unnecessary roughness or what was he playing, ukulele too loud?
Maybe. Yeah, but I believe that the Bucs end up scoring on that one. They end up scoring a touchdown. So that's a big time play. That is a big time play there by Cyril Grayson, big time throw by Tom Brady. So, it's just I thought the game plan just wasn't it I thought they made it way harder on themselves than it needed to be. And it was just, it was weird to me. So I'm not too impressed with the offensive coaching staff. Believe it or not, Tony, we can criticize the offensive coaching staff when it's not great, as we do still. I thought the defense adjusted okay in the second half. They made some plays to get the ball back to the offense, and you know, as the offense was starting to get into a rhythm. But overall, I'd probably give it the C as the entire coaching staff. Pat brings it up again. I wanted to end the show with a little bit of a seeding update, because obviously if the Bucks would have lost this game, really it wouldn't have mattered. They almost would have been locked into the 4 seed pretty much if they would have lost. Unfortunately, the Rams did beat the Ravens. The Ravens could not hold on. It's a shame Lamar. I think if Lamar Jackson plays, I think the Ravens actually beat him, because man, Matt Stafford did not play well in that game, and they just survived. So if you know, okay, Bruce Arians is not terrible. Okay, let's real quick. This is if he's so bad, they don't win anything last year. Like I'm sorry. Like I hate to keep bringing it up, but if he's so bad. If he's as bad as Bucks fans swear he is, and his offensive staff and his defensive staff are just clueless, they don't win a thing last year. I guarantee you they don't win anything. So as far as seeding, the Rams won. So unfortunately, the Bucks, another week where you can't get to the 2 seed, right? Right now, the Cardinals versus Cowboys is happening live. The Cardinals are up 3-0 with 9:01 left in the second quarter. The Cardinals are driving, though. They're in Dallas territory. So if the Cardinals were to win that game and Dallas were to lose, let's say the Bucs win next week, the Bucs would be the 3 seed instead of the 4 seed. So a potential chance for the Bucs to move up, but can't get to that 2 seed until L.A. loses. And right now, they just beat Baltimore, and they got San Francisco coming up next. So the Bucks, for now, will stay in the same spot as of this moment. As of this moment, it will stay in the same spot at the 4 spot, unless Dallas loses, which the Bucks could move up a little bit. But yeah, that's your seeding matchup, and then obviously Green Bay, they still have a chance at the 1 seed. Obviously, the Bucks do, but Green Bay, all Green Bay has to do is win tonight, and that's wrapped up. So.
As we wrap things up, I got one more question for you. I just wanted to see if you had anything for the take bag after this game. A lot of major takeaways and a lot of major storylines you're going to be hearing throughout the rest of the week that really don't have a whole lot to do with the Buccaneers winning this game. But aside from that, do you have some major takeaways from this one to carry into the week ahead?
Not really. Like I said, I thought Brady played okay. I don't really have many takes, to be honest with you. It was a crazy game, and we discussed it so much, and big time props to Cyril Grayson. Still feels like to me Tyler Johnson's gonna have to step up. He had an okay day today. He got a few targets. He wasn't bad, but it feels like he's gonna have to step up a little bit more. He had 4 receptions for 50 yards, especially without Antonio Brown now. He's gonna have to step up a little bit more. You can't expect Cyril Grayson to get 6 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown every game. Like that's, you know, Tyler Johnson, you were a draft pick, you know, step up a little bit. Le'Veon Bell, I thought, played well. And real quick, I want to talk about the decision to go for 2 late. Really, right after the touchdown. So I actually like this. I discussed this earlier with my dad when talking about the Ravens, might have been the Ravens Rams game, where there was a scenario where you score a touchdown. Do you go for 2 and continue to be up by 2, where you can lose by a field goal, but the other team, if you do get it, the other team can't tie with a field goal. And the Bucks, you know, lo and behold, they end up freaking doing it. So,
well, it's funny that the Ravens of all teams too, the Ravens, I'm pretty sure they lost 2 weeks in a row for going
two out of 3 weeks.
Yeah. Two out of three weeks.
Yeah.
They lost because they decided to just go for 2 at the end of the game, try and win it when it's right there. You trust your offense and, you know, it's a pretty costly decision, but yeah, I like the decision the Bucks made too. You know, the offense is feeling great. You got to be as confident as ever after a play like that. Like literally your biggest offensive play of the game is the Cyril Grayson touchdown. So to follow that up, Le'Veon Bell up the gut gets the job done. I definitely like it. It's a no risk it, no biscuit kind of move. I know not a lot of people like that phrase, but I think that's what that coaching staff showed when they decided to go for 2 right there.
Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, I brought it up. It was so funny. I literally brought it up probably 10, 15 minutes earlier when talking about the Rams and Ravens game. I brought it up to my dad, and lo and behold, the Bucs ended up doing the exact same thing. I was like, oh, they're going to go for two. They went for two to burn time. The clock does not run on a 2-point conversion, so that wasn't the case. It's just like an extra point. The clock doesn't run on an extra point. It was a good day. It was a good day. And Cameron Brake continues to be a red zone monster. Another touchdown today. A clutch touchdown on fourth down, right? So yeah, it was a good day by some guys. Just an underwhelming win, but a thrilling win, which, like you said, unfortunately, this week nobody's gonna be talking about that. Everybody's gonna be talking about the other thing. And my last take is I hope this team can stay focused and just take care of business against Carolina, right? I know you're in the playoffs. I know you're 12-4, but you still got some seeding stuff at stake, right? Just take care of Carolina. Don't mess around. I understand the distractions that this week may bring. Like, I get it. But, try your best to stay focused and beat a football team who you handled pretty easily last week and is really, really struggling.
Ladies and gentlemen, with all that being said, that's just about
going to do it. Also, hang on.
Okay, all right. Well,
Speaking of Carolina.
Well, let's talk about
the Panthers. How bad is the Panthers' offense that if the Jets' offense could do that to the Bucs' defense? It was the same defense. How bad is the Panthers' offense then?
I guess we're going to find out a week from today.
Hopefully, we might find out.
Hopefully, we'll be having a conversation 7 days from now, probably about this exact time.
The Panthers are up 10-6 against New Orleans right now.
So. Oh, all right. Well, should be an interesting one. The Buccaneers, of course, NFC South division champions, so this game isn't going to affect anything, but it'll be interesting to watch to see maybe what Carolina tries to bring into the fold on offense next week. After, like you said, only putting up 6 points against this Bucs defense the last time these two teams played just a week ago. But ladies and gentlemen, with all of that being said, thank you so much for checking out this week's edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Best place to go for updates on the show and, of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. Subscribe over here on YouTube if you have not already. It truly is the best way to experience the show. And daily uploads coming at you guys this week, so we should have a lot of great news coming up for you. So go check it out, youtube.com/CannonFirePodcast. Last but not least, you can find myself on Instagram and Twitter at Redicus. If you follow me, I will follow you back. RHETTAKUS, Instagram and Twitter once again. But that's it, man. Thank you guys once again for tuning in this week. We truly do appreciate every single person who chose to listen to this show. Our moderators, Willie Beam and Adam Davies holding it down. Edwin Hernandez, TC, Dante Holmes, Brian Shaw, Pat McGroin, Venice Beach Sports Network, B-Master, and of course, we cannot forget our good friend Danny. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. We'll talk to you later on this week with some more Buccaneers news, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you then. I'm your host, Rip Matthew, signing off for my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you next time. Until then, and as always, go Bucs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.